Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. So we're, as always, we're going to start with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, Lord God. We just thank you for the privilege of coming and understanding and learning about your word, Lord God. And we pray, as always, Holy Ghost, come. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to move and to open up our understanding and to give us revelation in your word, Lord God. And Father, I pray again that we would digest it and we would take it in and we would be changed, Lord God. Oh, Father, we understand it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your spirit. Oh, Lord, that these things are accomplished, Lord God. So send your Holy Spirit, and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So new lesson, so get your hand out in the back and the handouts are back there if you want to get a handout. And thank you for closing that door. And also, there's a little flyer on how to rest when you're a caregiver. This is a little talk that I'm going to do on Tuesday, January 28th. This is a talk that I did at the Women's Conference this year. So, you know, we're going to do it here, too. So there's a little flyer if you'd like to join us for that. And that's going to be on Tuesday, January 28th. I was surprised at the number of people in our church that were caregivers, you know, it's quite a feat. As I was talking about needing that respite care only to get my groceries, you know, you just realize, you know, how taxing it can be when you're a caregiver. But so I hope the talk will be very helpful. The Lord has really taught me a lot of things through the years on that. We're going to talk about, we're moving into session 11 today, and it's the how portion, the locks of prayer. Again, our book is Battle Plan for Prayer by the Kendrick Brothers. Battle Plan of Prayer by the Kendrick Brothers. So this is our book that we're in, and we're on session 11. And I think, as I said, I don't think we're even a third of the way through this book, so it's been really good. We're going to be parked here for a few years, guys, which is good. You know, I don't think you could ever learn enough about prayer. And I think we've been in prayer for the past maybe 10 years or so. We've been teaching on prayer, and we'll continue to teach on prayer because I think that's what the Lord, just this communication with God is something that we have to continually learn about. So as we're looking at our lesson, it's called How the Locks of Prayer. And our key scripture is from Job 35:13, and it says, "Surely God will not listen to an empty cry." This lesson is so important, guys, because we hear people talk about all the time, you know, they feel God didn't hear him here and God didn't hear him there. But it's so important that we understand what can lock your prayers up. You know, and the Bible is clear on that. The things that we're going to talk about today are all biblically based. It's nothing that I made up. It's something that is from the Word of God, that things that will hinder your prayer. So it's important that you understand this. So the top of your lesson, it says, how do you make your prayer life more effective? Accessing God through prayer is not meant to be like cracking a safe. And that's from our book, and I love that, page 67. Because sometimes you feel like you got to go through all these changes. But there's just some basic things that we need to understand about this. Your lesson says accessing God is about growing in a relationship with him and allowing the necessary changes as you grow in understanding of him so that you have the keys to his way and his plan. You have to understand that God works with his allies, okay? God works with those that are working with him. The believers who know and walk with him, these are who God will work with. The walk begins with a relationship, okay? Not, you know, fakers, pretenders need not apply, okay? When we talk about relationship, we're talking about true stuff, okay? There's a lot of pretenders, you know? But when we're talking about unlocking prayer and having access to God Almighty, relationship has got to be real and it's got to be true. Amen. It doesn't have to be perfect, okay, because none of us are perfect, but it does need to be real. Amen. You know, so that's one of the things, and we're just going to get through the introduction. We're not even getting, there's 10 locks that they talk about, but we're just going to get through the introduction today, guys. So as your lesson says, children are born, I use this analogy, but let's go with this analogy. It says children are born into the world totally unaware of how to obtain what they need for survival. All they know to do is cry for what they need. And mercy and grace, usually in the form of love, is extended to them because of their helplessness and unlearned state. Okay, I love the lessons that God gives us right in our own humanity. He shows us lessons about him in our own humanity that we can relate to. That's why he talked to us in parables. You know, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And in this context, I can see how God is teaching us through looking at children. So your lesson says, but as they grow up, their relationship with their caregivers, usually their parents, and in understanding the ways of the world and understanding how to communicate more effectively, they can better access what they need. They come to understand the need of relationships and the dynamics of relationships. They become successful in relating to others and survive in the world as it is. Okay, that's just something that we see every day. You know, when babies first start out, what do they do? Wah, 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 feed me. Wah. You just have to imply because you don't understand but you just imply, okay, they need to be fed. They need to be changed. They need this. They need that. And you just have to imply. They don't communicate very effectively. Everything is wah, wah, wah. So you respond to it. And that's how we are. We first come to the Lord. Just like an infant, you come to Christ unaware of who he truly is. You pray to him, but you are not clear about what he stands for. When an infant is born, his or her vision is blurry. Did you understand? When babies are born, they don't see very clearly. Their vision is actually blurry. All he or she sees is a shadow of a face. You know, I was watching this video and they were showing the shadows of the face, you know, that the baby sees. They see a shadow of a mouth and a shadow of an eyes, but they really don't see clearly. Their eyes are not focused yet. You know, it takes until they get to the age of 3 months before the eyes actually focus, you know, until 3 months. So what are they in tune to? They're attuned to the heartbeat. You know, the heartbeat. Remember, they heard mama's heartbeat all those times as they were developing. They heard mama's heartbeat. They're in tune to heartbeats. Heartbeat of mom and dad. That's what they tune into. They can't see very clearly, but they're in tune. They're listening to the heartbeat. They sense other things, you know. So that's how we are as we come to Christ. We're just kind of sensing. You know, we came to him because the Spirit moved on us. And we came and we gave our heart to him. And we sense his presence and everything. But there's still some things that we're not quite seeing clearly. We're not really sure who he is. We've heard about this Jesus, but he's kind of mysterious. And we're just kind of learning and growing in him. So that's the way it is when we use that comparison of an infant. But as an infant, they grow and they're nurtured. Their vision becomes more focused. And as I said, this happens at about 3 months of age. So in this next point of your lesson, as we look at the word dynamic. Dynamic describes a process or system characterized by constant change, activity, or progress. And dynamic usually means two different things coming together to form one thing, but there needs to be changes as they come together. So they call that the dynamic. Because we were born in sin and God is holy, our relationship with God must be dynamic for our prayers to become more effective. Remember, we were born in sin. God is holy. And even after we come to him, we still got some cleaning up to do. Remember, the Bible talks about the sin that so easily besets us or hangs on to us. You got like all these hooks of issues on you that when you come to God, you got all these issues. I've got to tell people, Christians are not perfect. You are talking about people that are in a process, okay? And they are going to make mistakes because they are in a dynamic relationship. But the thing about believers, at least they're in the relationship. They're growing toward their God who is holy. So it's dynamic. There's movement going on. There should always be movement going on in your relationship with God. You should never be at a place where you're stagnant. You're the same way you were in 2020, the same way you were in 2019, same way year after year goes by and there's no change. that means your relationship has grown cold and stagnant. Amen. And some people, is, you know, even like it's just still, you know, and that should never be. We talked about a while back what happens in anything that's stagnant. If you ever, like a swamp is stagnant. And if you ever were around a swamp, you know, that thing reeks. Yes. Before you even get close to it, you can smell it. Why? Because things are growing in it. Because it's still and it's not moving. And that is a setup for bacteria. Again, a lesson that God puts in our world for us. I'm like, boy, you just look at a swamp and you look at how you can just smell the stench. You don't want to swim in it. You don't even want to go near it because, you know, you just don't know what's in that water. And, you know, forget the alligators. The alligators might be there too. That's a problem too. But my goodness, the bacteria, and you just like, I'll get out of that stuff and I have all kind of diseases. Well, that what's happened when your relationship becomes stagnant and still. Because remember, we talk about you're surrounded by the hordes of hell. Amen. And they are not going to leave you alone. They see that you're being still. You're not talking to God. You're not growing. Oh, they're going to be right there. Oh, we have opportunity to plant something and to make it grow. You got to keep in mind, my relationship with God is dynamic. It's got to be ever moving, ever growing. So we need to understand that. If an infant or child is to become more effective in their communication, they must grow in knowledge and understanding. Is that not true? Amen. You know, if you're all grown up and you're still saying, wow, 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 people are going to look at you all strange. They don't know what to do with you. They're like, okay, I'm not sure what they want. Why? Because you are expected to be able to communicate and to engage more effectively as you have grown in knowledge. You've learned language. You know, you've come to an understanding of a community, and you have to understand how to communicate more effectively. The same as with your spiritual life. You need to be reading that Bible so you get knowledge of God and understand how to talk to Him, how to communicate, and how He communicates with you. God expects you to grow up in Him in communicating with Him. The apostle wrote, you can write down this scripture, it's Hebrews 5:11 through 14, and it says this: we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are dull of hearing. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to reteach you the basic principles of God's word. Oh my goodness. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is still an infant, inexperienced in the message of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained their senses to distinguish good and evil. He's writing to Christians. Amen. He's writing to believers. Church. Okay, he's talking about that. He's talking to us. You should be on milk, and you're still on milk. I have to be careful around you because you might get offended. You know, boy, haven't you been going here for 20 years? And your feelings just get hurt. You know, somebody didn't look at you right. And, you know, I still got to handle you with kid gloves because you have failed to grow up. And God, you should be teaching people. You should be an example that people can look to. But yet, you are still on milk. That's what he's talking about here. Your relationship with God is meant to be dynamic, growing. You should be changing and being different. You should be the helper and not always the one that has to be helped all the time. You know, you should be out there, you know, just making a difference, being a light for somebody else, helping people through the hard times and not falling into what the flesh wants you to do when things are hard. So again, folks, God wants your relationship to be dynamic with Him. The next point in the lesson says, in the same manner as a child, we are born into the family of God. We learn that He knows everything and understands the dynamic of His holiness versus our sinfulness. God Himself decides and directs us regarding how prayer works, not us. Okay, we got to get away. That's from our book. We got to get away from dictating to God. How prayer works. He'll tell you how prayer works. A parent does not give a child everything he asks for because they are immature and will ask for things that would do them and others harm. the parent understands the dynamic of their parental wisdom versus their child's immaturity. The scriptures teach us, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's Romans 8, 26 through 27. Folks, you got to get this one. You know, and sometimes we get all puffed up and we think we know what to pray. You don't even, I still think I don't know what to pray. It's like, oh, sometimes I just say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. I don't even know how to respond to this situation. Just come, Holy Spirit, come. My prayers have become more simple as I have grown in God. It used to be all complicated. Now, Lord, let them have the pink house. The pink house on the third on Elm Street. Lord, that's what they want. Lord. So, Lord, let them have that pink house. And they want the green car. Give them the green car. Not anymore. I'm like, Lord, let your will be done. Amen. Let your kingdom come. Let you come in, Holy Ghost. I want your will to be done. And God, you know, I believe even when we're praying with a sincere heart, when I was praying, if I'm praying about the pink house, the Bible says that the Spirit will intercede for me. Amen. You know, I want good things for my friends. Amen. That's why I'm praying this. And I think the Spirit intercedes and he does those good things for them. And then you find out, oh, they didn't get the pink house. Oh, okay, well, praise God. Lord, let your... And then we say, oh, Lord, let your will be done. We should have been praying that from the beginning. And I've learned my prayers have become much more simple than they used to be. Because I said, Lord, I don't know the agenda that you have for them. I don't know what you have for them. So I'm praying your will be done and your kingdom come. I pray that your Holy Spirit come and move. And boy, as I've seen that happen, I've seen God move so much better, you know. And I said, oh, Lord, I didn't even think you were going to do it that way. But look at what you've done, you know. And I didn't even know you were going to do it like that. So again, we have to leave the Holy Ghost to do his work that he was sent here to do. The next point says, some may be offended at these verses because we want to dictate to God what should be and shouldn't be. But it is God who keeps us all safe as we are growing up in him. Thank God he does not answer all of our prayers with a yes. And I had to show this scene, guys. I don't know if you guys saw this movie that came out years ago, Bruce Almighty.
Yeah.
You guys remember this movie? I just had to see. Who hasn't seen? Who has not seen it? Okay, so Bruce Almighty was given God's power. God gave Bruce power. So, because Bruce is complaining, you know, like we do. Like, why didn't you do this? And why didn't you? So, Bruce is given God's power. And this is, I hope I'm going to get to the right scene on this. Okay. This is the scene where he's given God's power and he's starting to hear the prayers that God hears. And he's trying to understand what to do about these prayers. So let me just turn this up a bit. Okay, here we go. Because trying to answer prayers and you're trying to be Jesus for everybody. There's only one Jesus and he has all the intel. Okay, and you can't do it or you end up in a mess and you end up putting other people's lives in a mess. That's why we have to be so sensitive about how we pray for people and what we're going to pray for them. So again, thank God that he does not answer all of our prayers with a yes. I'm so glad he said no to some stuff because I didn't know what I was thinking and what I, you know, I didn't have all the intel. I didn't have all the information as God does. So as we look at the world as it is, this is on your lesson. We come to understand that life on earth is an unavoidable battle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers, world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Ephesians 6:12, and this kind of lays out planet Earth for us. This kind of lays out the human condition. As I keep saying, we're surrounded by the horrors of hell. According to this, we're in a battle. You know, you can't walk through life like you're walking through just, you know, a meadow. I know it gets tiring, and I know it gets weary sometimes, but you must always be aware that you are in a battle, and that you're working against spiritual forces that want to take you down. God has graciously, protectively given us rules to help our prayer and our warfare be successful. And that's from the book on page 67. So many people think they know what should be done, but only have a small portion of the information on any situation. I don't care how well you think you know somebody, and, you know, especially when it comes to family members and your children. Well, I brought them into the world and I raised them. You still don't have all the intel. God has all the intel. So everything you do, you know, and I say especially when it comes to family, be in prayer. You know, God, what should I do? You know, sometimes you gotta, you know, the knowledge of God takes precedence over motherhood and fatherhood. Amen. You know, so sometimes we get so caught up, you know, but take everything to God. Your lesson says Jesus knew the state that we were in when he promised, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And that's John 14:18. I thought it was interesting that he used that term orphans. You know, that if we really explore that a little bit, he taught us to pray before he returned to his father. And he made his father our father. Through him, his father is our father. So again, it kind of connects with that word orphan, because when we don't have God, when we don't have Christ, we're like orphans. Amen. In the world. Amen. You know, we are subjected to whatever comes. If you can see an orphan doesn't have anyone they can rely on. Mm-hmm. They have to take care of themselves. And Satan thrives on orphans. Amen. Boy, I can lead them astray because there's nobody to pour wisdom into them. Amen. There's nobody to tell them what to do. So I can take advantage of the orphans within and sometimes even as believers, we behave as if we have no father. Amen. As believers, Amen. We behave as if we have no father. We behave as if we're orphans. We don't pray. Amen. We just go ahead. We don't ask for the wisdom for problems that come in every day. They try to do things. We try to do things and we fight, try to fight problems on our own. And we end up. Over and over being lured into Satan's traps. How many have been there? Yes. You know, I got this. Yes. I mean, after all, I got a degree. I got several degrees, so I got this. I don't need to pray about this one, this situation. Oh, you better be careful, because Satan is waiting for you to be so caught up in what you think you know. And you walk into that meeting with no prayer, or you walk into that situation with no prayer, and he set a trap for you. So you have to be careful. Don't live like an orphan. Boy, I think that's such a powerful descriptor of how we live sometimes. We act as if we have nobody, and we do everything on our own. We don't talk to God, and we act like orphans, and we fall right into the schemes of the enemy. The Apostle Paul wrote, and this is in 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11, if you forgive anyone anything, I too forgive that one. And what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of and with the approval of Christ, to keep Satan from taking advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes, the apostle wrote. See, the apostle knew the devil tricks people. He schemes and he waits. He's patient. He can wait and lie and lure you in little by little. He'll promise you the world. And lure you in. But the end of it, he's going to rob you. He's going to steal from you. He's going to destroy you. He's going to kill you. Amen. That's his whole agenda for any human being on planet Earth, is to kill and to steal and to destroy. Yes. But he does it through scheming. He can't make you do anything. Amen. All he can do is lie to you and tell you lies to lure you down a certain road, because you're acting like orphans who have no one, no father to pour wisdom into you. And in this particular instance, in 2 Corinthians 2, the apostle is talking about unforgiveness. He said, whoever you forgive, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to let him go. I'm going to let this go because unforgiveness is a biggie. It is one of Satan's schemes is unforgiveness. You know, and when you are in unforgiveness, you're like an orphan and you're at risk when you're walking in unforgiveness. So he uses that example in particular as one of Satan's schemes. The next point in your lesson says, he did not want his disciples left alone to the wolves like an abandoned child without anyone to care for them and lead them. So God in his word delivers some rules of engagement to make us rough, tough, and battle-ready for the difficult days ahead. And that's from the book on page 68. And folks, there will be difficult days ahead. We're on planet Earth.
Amen.
As long as you're on planet Earth, there will be days. I mean, he gives us seasons of peace and rest, and I thank God for that. Amen. But look out. Don't get weak. When you're in those seasons of peace, armor up, okay? Rereading, be studying, you know, because there's more stuff coming as long as we're on this planet. So he wants us to be in prayer. Prayer was never designed to be a chore, but a privilege and a pleasure. Think of the rules as a guide, your lesson says, that shows us how to transform prayer into a truly rewarding experience. And as I said, it was never designed to be a chore. It was designed to be a privilege and a pleasure. And that's why David, who had this wonderful prayer life, wrote, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And that's Psalm 16 and 11. That's one to write down. That's what God intended your engagement with him to be like. A pleasure. A joy. A wonderful experience that you want to just do all the time. You know, when the scripture says pray without ceasing, and you're like, how are you going to pray without ceasing? No, it's just talking with him all day. Talking with him all day. And the beautiful thing about talking with God, you don't have to even move your lips.
Amen.
You're just talking with him heart to heart all day long. Okay, you know, somebody's coming down in the hall at you, and you can just say, "Lord, I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him, dude. I'm going to love him." You know, somebody that got on your nerve, "I'm going to love him. Oh, God, here they come. Oh, Lord, give me your peace. Give me your peace. Here they come, Lord." You know, and you can always be talking with him and in his presence. You know, I've experienced that so many times that, you know, it didn't turn out the way I thought it was because, you know, you invite the Lord into it and he changes the circumstances. And often he changes you.
Amen.
Often it's you that needs to change. You got the attitude. You need to change, you know, and God makes it all better. So as we go further, it says, think of them, the rule, as expert training from a master teacher whose desire is to send us out there fully prepared, never caught off guard, moving bravely into attack position. And that's, again, a comment from the book. The lesson goes on to say, Satan does not play fair. Let me say that again. Satan does not play fair. See, some of y'all think that, you know, Satan is, you know, involved with the Geneva Convention, you know, where they had all these rules and stuff of war and the rules of engagement. Satan could care less about the rules of engagement, okay? He does not play fair. Everything, every time, and everyone is fair game for his stealing, killing, and destroying.
Amen.
Jesus mentored us in stating the thief only comes. In order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they have life and enjoy it in abundance. So to the full till it overflows. Let me read that again. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. It's interesting, may have. You can have it or you can just forfeit it. It's up to you to have that abundant life, and that's John 10:10. The next point of your lesson says, Satan does not care about the love you have for your family. Okay? Like my sweet little family. It's all cute and everybody. Oh, what a beautiful family. Satan is not saying that. Okay? He's looking at how he can destroy it. He hates it. Anything that God loves, he hates. And that includes all of humanity. And I tell people, whether you believe God or not, Satan hates you.
Amen.
You know, that's why I don't understand people that practice witchcraft, witches and warlocks. I mean, they know their power. That power is coming from Satan. But yet, they serve him.
Amen.
You know, don't you know he hates you? And in the end, he will discard you. You know, so Satan does not care about the love you have for your family, your special events, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the youth and naivety of a child or a teen, or your job, your position, your relationships. He doesn't care about any of that. He's going to destroy where he can. Satan and his demons will invade and steal, kill and destroy wherever they are given opportunity.
Amen.
And opportunities arise for them when we are prayerless. When we fail to be watchful.
Amen.
Opportunity arises. Remember what the scripture says. He creeps around like a lion, seeking, watching whom he can devour. You know, and when you're prayerless, you're wide open, folks. You know, that's why you see so much stuff going out in the world. You know, people's lives just being destroyed. It just breaks your heart. I mean, you can barely watch the news every day. I mean, it's just like, you know, I get these texts that come up on my phone, you know, on the news. Sometimes I just want to just take that news app off because every 5 minutes, bing, this happened, bing, that happened, bing, somebody got killed, somebody. I'm like, oh, my God, it's just horrible. Some of the stories that you hear because the enemy does not care. He does not care what your situation is. It doesn't care that the person was a child or a helpless infant. He will take them. When we remain children and on milk, when we should be on the meat of the word, he can take anything. You know, as I said, when you're easily offended, you always got an attitude and self-righteousness. Oh, don't let me get on that one with you Christians. With you Christians and that self-righteousness you guys get into. You know, oh my goodness, you're falling into a scheme of the enemy.
Amen.
You know, remember that's how the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. They were they were the religious people.
Amen.
And they were the ones that turned the Christ over to be crucified. You know, boy, you got to watch that one.
Amen.
Because we think because we're Christians, you know, we got our nose all up in the air. And boy, I'm like, do you serve the same Savior that died on the cross? Because from what I understand, from what I read about him, he was humble.
Amen.
Oh, he was humble. And that's what he expects us to walk as. And as Christians, we got to grow up in that. We don't want to fall into that scheme of self-righteousness. That's been the biggest criticism of Christians. Is that they're self-righteous.
Amen.
That they think they're better. That they think they're this. They don't reach out. They don't love enough, you know, because they think they're better. So for thousands of years, the Satan has known that's been our vulnerability.
Amen.
You know, since the beginning of Christianity, he knows that was our vulnerability, our self-righteous pride. And as I said, we don't want to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We want to be like our Christ. You know, I don't know how we got so off, but we did. We got off, but thank God, generation after generation, I believe the body of Christ is growing up.
Amen.
Generation after, and we're learning how to do it better with each generation. So we go on. You know, we're not like we were. You know, I see a change. I don't know if you guys can see the change in believers. You know, how we're more down to earth. We're not, you know, we reach out to everybody. We love everybody, and we're understanding what our Lord wanted from us. Next point. In addition to being a thief and a murderer, Satan is a liar and the father of lies.
Amen.
Jesus mentored us with the words, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. And that's John 8:44. So the first murder Satan committed was of Adam and Eve. That was the first murder. Through a lie, he separated them from God, which was death.
Amen.
Something changed. They died that day.
Mm-hmm.
And God told him, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die.
Amen.
And then Satan came and said, no, it's not true. Lying, lying. And so through his lie, he murdered or he killed Adam and Eve. God told them that they were going to die. They failed to consult with their father when they were approached by Satan in the garden, and they died. In fact, we all died that day, you know, through a lie that was told. And the lies are still being told, people. You know, if you don't know the Word of God, if you're not praying, if you're not consulting with God, if you're not doing all that you can to connect with the Father before you go into any venture, oh, you're on dangerous ground there. You're in dangerous ground. Satan will work through anything or anyone to steal from you, kill you spiritually, physically, or mentally. Get that one, folks. I don't think there's ever been a time in American history where there have been more people suffering from mental breakdowns than now. The suicide rate is off the chain. And as we had a seminar at the church, I think about a year ago, and they said the average age of suicide has gone down from age 40 to age 14. The teenagers. Oh, my God, what is happening? I mean, our young people are giving up before they've even had a chance to live. So, again, folks, we've got to see the situation mentally, you know, and why we should be in prayer. Because it's only going to change through prayer. You know, it's not going to, you know, we can add as many counselors as we can. But prayer, guys, that we're fighting a battle. And we've got to pray for our young people. Pray for the millennials, you know. They're different. You know, they've got a different mindset. Many of them have grown up unchurched, but pray for them. I believe they are going to lead the great revival in the end. They're going to lead it. They're going to change the world for Christ. I just believe that if we would pray for them and lift them up and not just look at them and shake our heads and say, oh, my goodness, I can't believe. No, pray. Let's get into prayer. So your lesson says he will kill you spiritually or physically or mentally or destroy you in any realm of your life he can access through lies.
Yes.
Only by growing in God and developing your relationship with him and your loved ones can you and your loved ones be safe. So you have to get past the locks of prayer. And we're going to, you know, as I said, this is just the introduction this week. Next week, we're going to really get into those, what locks up your prayer life. What locks it up? The next point on the lesson says, Satan and his demons will work through technology.
Yes.
They'll work through social media, television, the news media to steal lives through false reports of what is popular opinion. You know, because as human beings, we are really stuck on popular opinion.
Amen.
You know, we want to be with the in crowd. We want to be, I mean, that's just our nature. We don't want to be, no one wants to be rejected. No one wants to be left out, you know. And the media knows that. We were just talking about that, Margie. Margie was commenting on programming, you know, and there's a reason why TV shows are called programs because it's programming, you know, and they know how to program you into thinking certain things or a certain way. That the Christians are in the back. They're the out crowd. We don't, and this is what's in, you know. Don't you believe it? Okay, don't you believe false reports? In fact, Joe O'Brien gave me this newsletter last week. It's from Spotlight. It's from missionaries that do work in other countries. They are called, Light for the Lost. It's Light for the Lost, and it's a newsletter. And he was showing me some of the news that was in this newsletter for these missionaries over in overseas. And they were talking about the Arabic countries in particular. And they said, in a sensitive Arabic-speaking country, in fact, they can't even name the name of the country, more than 20,000 secret house churches called upper rooms have sprung up in the past few years. So Light for the Lost is providing the Bibles and other evangelism tools upper room believers use to teach these new converts and witness to others. This is incredible to see in the heart of the Muslim world. An evangelism movement is growing, and we get to be part of it. Isn't that beautiful? 20,000. 1,000 house churches in an Arabic-speaking Muslim country. They can't worship Christianity freely because they would be persecuted or even killed. But 20,000 in that setting. So you can imagine what's going on in the rest of the world. So folks, I'm telling you, as the Lord has said, you know, I remember I'm just thinking about when Elijah was on the mountain, he said, there are more with us than they are with them. Yeah. You know, the enemy wants to make you think that you're outnumbered and you're outgunned, but don't you believe it? Greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. One of his schemes that Satan uses to defeat you is to make you think that you are in the minority. You're not. God's got us. People will embrace lies because it's reported as popular opinion. Hold to the truth of God's word. He lies to the Christian world to lead us to discouragement and defeat. So don't you just keep holding on. You keep praying. God, the Holy Spirit is moving. It's not. They're not going to report it. They're not going to tell you. You know, they want you to believe the lie, you know, and also, or they hide the truth. Amen. Sometimes they'll just tell you the bad stuff that is actually happening, but they won't tell you the good stuff that's happening along with it. And even amongst their own circles, there's this thing called false news. You know, you've heard that term that came up in the last 10 years, false news. I thought, years ago, you never heard such a term. You believe the news. But now even within their own circles, they said some news is false. Because people are trying to program us. They're trying to manipulate us to believe a certain thing and to tend a certain way. But you keep standing on what is right because Jesus is prevailing in the earth. The next point in your lesson, this will be the final point as we close. Jesus was trying to teach us what we're up against. The apostle commented on keeping his heart free of grudges with others so that the enemy did not have opportunity in his life. Amen. He wrote, when you forgive this man, and we just read this scripture, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do with Christ's authority for your benefit so that Satan does not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his scheme. And again, Jesus, as they said, that unforgiveness piece is something that we really have to focus on. And we're going to talk about it because I'm pretty sure that's one of the 10 locks of prayer is carrying around unforgiveness in your heart. You know, but again, just want to open this with laying the land, talking about the lay of the land and what we're up against, the battle that we're in, the spiritual battle that we're in. And people that don't understand this, you know, they're still looking in the physical. Amen. And they don't understand the spiritual things that are going on. You can talk to them and often they'll, you know, they don't want to hear it. You know, you're just being religious, you know. You know, so all you can do is pray. Because when you pray, there are ways in which the Holy Spirit can reach them in ways that you can't. The Holy Spirit is active and moving. I've seen him act and move, and you've seen it. You've seen it. People that were set in one way, and you go into prayer, and you see that person just make a turnaround. And I saw it just a few weeks ago in my own household. I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh my God. Did she really say that? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Don't get too excited because, you know, they don't like, if you get excited, you know, they might just don't like when you get happy about something. So you just say, oh, okay. And you just go in your room and like, yes, 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 Jesus. You know how it is. You got to be wise. You got to be wise with them because they don't want you to know. Or they don't want to do what you want. So you have to hide that. Any comments or questions? I've heard of it, but I haven't seen
it. It's a good movie. It's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. They create wars.
Yeah.
And, most of it didn't even happen. They just create that so that it takes your mind off what the president is really doing.
Yeah.
What he is
yeah.
really
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Well, uh-huh. he's having affairs.
Yeah.
He's choosing the wrong decisions.
Yeah. That,
it
yeah.
is a really good movie to watch.
Yes. I remember Wag that. The Wag the Dog. Yeah.
In the end of it, he says, you can teach a dog to wag his tail, but can you teach a tail to wag the dog?
Yeah.
It took
yeah.
me a while. I had to listen. What does that even mean?
Yeah, I remember that story coming out years ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
Robert De Niro, isn't it, I believe? Yeah, he's like one of the main characters.
Yeah.
It's sad in the end, but it's reality.
Yeah,
it's
and
reality.
And that's why we got to know this truth. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to know your word, and you got to stand on your word, because the enemy, if he can manipulate, he'll manipulate.
I have a thought. One is a request, but because as I'm around youth, I'm around youth, and you know, going to Christian schools, you have Christian school leaders who are not Christian. You have kids going to Christian and they're Christian schools, and they're drawn to darkness.
Yes.
So even when you start talking about the light, you offend them.
Yeah.
And so I want to pray for them. I want to pray that the youth are able to get in the word. Yeah. It's not just here. It's everywhere. I have folks who teach the youth. And, you know, I said, why don't they read along in the Bible with you?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to read the Bible. You can tell them the word, and you have another person instigating, you know, the devil's using them, instigating what the word is saying, or what the teacher is trying to say,
mm-hmm.
when it's right there in the word, and you can read it all together.
Yes.
But they don't want, it's a simple solution,
yes.
but they don't want to
yes.
be in that simple solution.
Yes.
So I want to pray for youth. And then I want to pray for saints. Ask that we pray for saints, because we have forgotten the power of praise
yes.
and worship.
Yes.
The Bible don't say, when things are good, give God praise.
Yes.
It says, in everything.
In everything.
And I challenge you to listen to the song. I want you to listen to the words of the song if you get an opportunity. It's a fellow who sings the song, Praise the Lord. He can work through those that praise him. Praise the Lord. And he's not talking about everything going right. He's talking about when Satan comes against you, when he's coming against you, when the storms of life are coming against you, when the things you're praying for, just your world is falling apart.
Yes.
He's encouraging us
yes.
to praise the Lord.
Yes.
It's the Paul and Silas.
Yes.
They were in shackles and chains, you know,
yeah.
like this.
Yes.
And they the jailhouse rock, we call it the
yeah.
first jailhouse rock. They were praising the Lord. And it not only set them free, but when we praise God,
yeah.
It sets people free
yes.
around us.
Yes.
And there's so many other situations. Jehoshaphat was going into war, and they hired armies. He sent the choir in front of the army,
mm-hmm.
and they were singing, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever.
Yes.
When they got to where the enemy was, they were already
yes.
dead.
Yes.
The battle had already
yes.
been won. And we forget the power of praise.
Yeah.
We forget the power
mm-hmm.
of lifting God up.
Yes.
And I just want to encourage us in that we pray for that.
Yes.
With the worship
absolutely.
Team, the people
yes.
for ourselves. You
yes,
know?
Absolutely. I mean, we got to get our praise on in all settings. Go ahead, D.
You're talking about how people change and you're amazed about
yeah.
it. This week I had an opportunity. My neighbors are very Catholic. They don't go to church, but they're very religious. And for 16 years, I've been praying for them and arguing with Joe. Nope, you're not going to change me. I was born Catholic. I'm going to die a Catholic. Well, he's been sick lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always prayed, Lord, make a way. Well, this week, Holy Spirit said, you got the way.
Mm.
So I really prayed about it, and I went over there, and I said very boldly, because he has been feeling bad, I said, Joe, if you die tonight, where do you think you're going? And he said, I'm going to heaven. I said, you're sure of that? He said, yeah. And I said, how are you so sure? Keeping in mind for 16 years I've been,
mm-hmm.
I call it Bible study when they
mm-hmm.
have problems like that. Well, you're always saying that we have everlasting life if we believe in Jesus. And my, I was like, oh, because I
yes.
have this, what I was going to say. But he had learned
that's right.
over the
Holy
years.
Holy Spirit already went before you.
Yes,
uh-huh.
I said, you understand that Mary's not going to get you to heaven and rosaries. And And he's gruff, and he's getting really old and mean. He says, I understand that. Quit talking to me like that. I said, okay, just one more thing. I said, can we pray? I guess. But you know what? He did, and he understood after all these years. Mm-hmm. He understood salvation.
Yes.
Now, his wife...
Yes.
I haven't gotten there yet. You know what? It never would have worked. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit thinking it was time. It was time.
I'm just thinking one man waters, one man plants, and another waters, but God gives the increase. God, all those seeds you were planting all those years.
15
you know?
Years.
Yes. The Holy Spirit working on it. You know, because truth, you can't bury truth. We're talking about fake news and all these different things. You know, and, you know, you hear it today and it's gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth, it's going to stand.
Yeah.
It's gonna stay there, and they can't shake it. You see, you can't shake it, the truth.
Exactly.
You know, so even though it seems like they're, you know, they're blowing you off, you know, the truth.
Yes.
And you know, because sometimes they, you know, they've heard you say it over and over, they get quiet. You know, and I love bringing up, because, you know, if they're going to sit down and have a conversation with you, and they know who you are, you know, I mean, of course, you went to this person's house, but often, you know, people are just coming to you and talking to you and just striking up conversation, knowing who you are. You know, and I just love to bring the word. I don't tell them it's the word. Well, Matthew 5 and 8, I don't say that. I just say, well, you know, this is what I believe. I believe that, you know, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you know, and you just bring it up in conversation, you know, and they see that there's a truth that you live by. You know, and it sets you free.
Like,
you know? Yeah, why are you so happy? Because you're caught up in the truth. You know, when you're caught up in a lie, man, you just don't feel right. I don't care if you're a believer or non-believer. I mean, it's like when you're in a lie, you're so afraid that you're going to be exposed at any moment because you know it's a lie. And you're standing on a lie, and it's, you know, you will be exposed.
Get an opportunity to talk to people. And I had folks tell me, you know, I don't believe the Word of God. I believe that it's written by man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God didn't have anything to do with it. And I take that point of view with them. Because when I share, I don't do with the Bibles, you know, quoting scriptures and things, just intimidate people and kind of push them away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember saying to few people, let's look at the point of view that the Bible was written by a man.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with saying, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat? What's wrong with saying those things? I said, the person who wrote those things are wise, and I choose to believe those things and follow those things.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them can't argue back.
Yeah.
They can't, there's nothing you can say. Yeah. You know, even if a man wrote that, and he's giving you wise wisdom, what's wrong with the wise wisdom?
Yeah. And it's a sacred truth. Even though they don't acknowledge the Word of God, you know, most countries in the world, those are their laws. You will, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. I mean, these basic truths that are in the Word of God have been adopted by all the nations of the world. I don't think there's any country, I don't think, that you can go into and just murder is not illegal. Yeah, and get away with it. I mean, you know, because, and these are truths that came from where? The Word of God. They came from the Word of God because they go along with human society. It comes along with how we survive on the world. If murder was not against the law, boy, we'd be in a world of hurt. You know, we'd be extinct probably with all the anger in this world. We'd probably be extinct. You know, so again, the truth of the Word of God is always going to come out and come through. Yeah. I never heard that. Basic instructions before leaving Earth, the B-I-B-L-E. I love that.
Yes. What you got to do to come home.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
You know, I was visiting my son, and they're very busy with their kids, with activities and everything.
Uh-huh.
But he always tells me, when you come, Mom, I'll take you to church all the time. So I was there for 5 Sundays, and he went to church every day with me, and he says, I know the word. He says, I know what you're trying to bring back, he says, and he enjoys the word. And every time I come home, the last Sunday, I said, well, I'd appreciate if you and your family would come to church with us. Mm-hmm. And the word that the preacher says all the time is, touches their hearts. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them, be grateful for everything that you have. Because
yeah.
He's always told me, I can't believe the peace that you have. Because when I lost my mm-hmm. husband, we were almost 50 years married.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord just gave me a peace that passes all understanding through everything.
Wow.
He just brought everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to show him, trust God.
Yeah.
Trust God in all situations and all that you do.
Amen.
And she just got back from Australia. That's what she's talking
about. Australia. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, with the fires going on there.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. We're praying for Australia.
Yes, yes, we are. Yes. They need the rains, you know. He says they've been getting rains, you know, and that.
Yeah.
But Lord, let it fall in the right places,
yes.
You know.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, praise God. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, because, again, the truth sets you free. And that's why some people won't come to church. Sometimes they just say, oh, it's this, it's that. But sometimes it's because every time I go, it hits me between the eyes.
Right.
And I have to carry another nugget of truth with me around, you know. And that's one more thing that I have to deal with, you know. Because that's, you know, sometimes it's true.
I just wanted to say that's why I love coming to listen to you. Well, you know, Brother Steve, too. But I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just kind of, when you say the word, you just, to me, it just brings it to life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just feel more and more and more.
Yeah.
In love with the Lord,
wow.
you know, just hearing the word of God.
That's, you know, and again, we pray that the Holy Spirit comes and does that. He does that.
I wish you would both be open 3 hours at least in the morning.
I don't know if I can endure 3 hours, but, you know, I love everything that happens here, you know, because it's all just, I mean, I leave church on Sunday morning, I'm walking on a cloud, you know, just from all the ministry that takes place in the house of God. It's just beautiful.
Just
beautiful. Yeah.
Also, all of you.
Yes.
You know,
this whole class. I love this class.
Say something to encourage me more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you were just saying, sometimes we want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
all by
family,
ourselves. I got this.
I
got
to help. I got to do that. And I got to do this. And I get myself in all in a bundle of mess.
Go riding out of camp on our white horse. We go riding out of camp. You remember those old cowboy movies? And you come back into camp all covered in arrows and, you know, wobbling. That's the way we do.
I get myself exhausted. You know, I have to remind myself all the time. I'm like these stubborn people. Stubborn.
The choleric temperament. You know, we talk
time.
About the
Shut
temperament
up.
Test. Who wanted the temperament test? I gotta get you temperament test.
Yes, please.
I forgot it. I'm gonna look through my stuff. I might have it in my stuff.
Well, that's
but
all
yeah,
I just
but
to
yeah,
say.
That choleric temperament. And boy, we're running out of time, guys.
I am so happy to be back with the ladies that worship the Lord. I mean, I just miss that fellowship so much. And when I got back with all the ladies, it's wonderful, you know, just to be back in God's presence with everybody.
And gentlemen, we got our guys. It's open to everybody.
But my granddaughter, I have been witnessing to her. And she has been coming to church, and she says, Grandma, I get hit in the face all the time. He says, it looks like he's talking to me about everything, you know?
That's why some don't want to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, he's going to hit me, you know, between the eyes. Did you tell him about me? No, I didn't tell him about you. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. God, you know, we're going to sing that song this morning, that song, Restless Love. I heard the praise team rehearsing it, and I love that song. He chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I love that. And that's what God, Jesus, is doing for your loved ones. He's chasing them down, but you keep praying. You know, God is going to chase them down and turn everything around, because the truth cannot be buried. So let's pray. Let's pray, guys. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your just all that you do for us, Lord God. You do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ever ask or think, Lord God. You bless us so tremendously, Lord. You give us understanding and revelation in your word, Lord God. It's like precious gold nuggets to us, Lord God. Father, we thank you and we praise that you would work through us, Lord. We pray for your Holy Ghost to come. We open our spirit to your Holy Ghost to move and to change us, Lord God. I pray that we would be dynamic in our relationship. Lord, we come against stagnation. Oh, God, that we will not be stagnant and satisfied where we are, Lord God, but we would be ever moving in our relationship with you, ever growing, ever changing. Oh, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord God, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. Oh, God, and we thank you. We lift up. We agree with everyone for the loved ones that they're praying for, Lord. I just feel led to say that. We're agreeing together, oh, God, with the loved ones that they're praying for, the children. Oh, God, the millennials, Lord God, we lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Oh, God, bring revival in that group, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keep praying and keep praising, folks. Amen.